Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of How We Scaled, proudly brought to you by Jeff Brandeis Coaching and Training. And of course, I am your host, Rye Russell, and we have such a unique opportunity on this show to speak to different entrepreneurs that have scaled businesses and are here to share some value with all of us. And I am so grateful that we were able to get Lance Brown to hang out with us for some time today. And I'm just so grateful, Lance, that you made the time for us.
Thanks, Rob. I really appreciate you guys having me on. Looking forward
Absolutely.
To it.
Well, Lance, I had the opportunity to connect with you on LinkedIn now and take a look at your website and learn about your amazing business. But I want to hear, Lance, what was the journey that brought you to Rhino Medical Supply? Because I cannot imagine this was your first foray into sales and business development.
No, great question too, and it's one of those. It's an interesting question, and our story is definitely unique. COVID, unfortunately, is what brought us to Rhino Medical Supply. One of our partners was in medical sales for 20 plus years, and around this time last year, when COVID first hit and everything was starting to shut down, supply chains were decimated. And if you had a relationship, a pre-existing relationship with hospitals, then you got an opportunity to earn business. So that's kind of what got us to the dance. And we knew from day one that we didn't want to be just a, you know, take advantage of an opportunity because of it was unfortunate. We wanted to, you know, because of a lower barrier to entry, we had an opportunity to build something sustainable. So that's what we did. So that's what we've been doing. Officially Rhino Medical Supply Incorporated May 7th, 2020. So we're not quite a year old, but we just we're experiencing explosive growth.
Incredible. And you know, as you said, you know, the pandemic has been obviously an awful time, all things, you know, considered. But for those entrepreneurs out there, there's a real opportunity to do good by doing good business as well. And so I would love to kind of learn a little bit of, you know, where were you before this, before the pandemic, and what kind of made the shift? Obviously, you know, we know that we need PPE, but I'm just curious, like, you guys have grown so fast that where did the knowledge of how to scale, where did that come from?
Great, great question. So first of all, I spent 13 years, and I'll tell you a little bit about like our partner group and the, sure, the diversity of it from a professional standpoint. But prior to 2017, I spent 13 years at Wells Fargo in various roles. But my most recent assignment, I was a senior market sales manager for our merchant division. So I oversaw or supported South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, and we had one store in Mississippi, so I got to claim the whole state. So I had a team outside sales reps that I supported and a credit card processing. So in 2017, December 1st, me and three other partners, we started Swipe Fast. It's a credit card processing company. And naturally, we deal with, you know, small businesses and electronic forms of payment. So when COVID hit, you know, we were like, all right, so if doors are shut and they're not able to bring in customers and customers can't pay them, and how is that going to impact our business? Rewind a year forward, we hired a guy who's a principal partner of Rhino Medical named Trip Robinson. And what attracted me to Trip was that he had 20 plus years in medical sales. So, you know, and he worked for a competitor and we were looking for a relationship manager in the upstate. We're located in South Carolina. We didn't know that a year later that his medical experience would be a business opportunity. So that's kind of how it happened. So we were brokering for one of our partners of Swipe, and we just had a differences of opinion of strategically how we, you know, how we wanted to have a PPE company. So that was a catalyst to us starting Rhino Medical Supply. And then it's just been like a drinking out of a fire hydrant ever since. We hired a guy out of Ohio who had 13 plus years calling on group purchasing organizations for healthcare. We started out in my garage. We just like the old, it's not an American story if you don't start out of a garage or basement.
That's right.
So it used to be a dog room, a Peloton room, and then an office for Rhino. And now it's a PlayStation 5 room. So we started out in my garage and we were sending out samples all to hospital systems all over the country. And our customers are hospitals, healthcare systems, and schools. And we're in all 50 states now. We just launched a retail division to where we sell, you know, medical grade masks, NIOSH approved N95s or gloves, whatever, to consumers. And so we've just been growing rapidly. And we had to grow out of the garage into a 12,000 square foot warehouse and office space. Wow.
Under a year.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's been
fun. And we can talk about like some of those things that had to happen for us to get there. A lot of long nights, a lot of work, but this has been in my career. This has been probably the most fun I've had being the dumbest person in the room, not knowing anything about medical supplies and having to relearn a new industry for the first time. What helped us is that we didn't have to learn business for the first time. So we'd already had some of the pitfalls, you know, some of the hurdles. When you start your first business, you just don't know. And coming from a company like Wells Fargo, you get a little spoiled because everything is at the tip of your fingertips. Like if there was a report that we need, we just click a button and the report is there. When you work for yourself, you have to create those reports.
Yes.
And that's the biggest challenge is like learning how to do everything for yourself. But it's also you get energy in doing that as well.
I mean, I think those of us that enjoy startup life, there's probably a special kind of crazy that we're preconceived to already, you know, so
but you have to be wired a little bit differently for sure.
100%. And thinking about, you know, you're right. I cannot imagine running a PPP or a PPE organization during this time, if you didn't already have some of that building blocks and founding principles of running a business. But what you've done is taken that kind of like 5-year hero's journey of startup and compacted it into what, 9 to 11 months. So I would love to learn just like the process, like of how, like, okay, so you get your first inventory, you're in the garage, you're calling, you're shipping. Like, how were you able to scale that rapidly without dropping the ball?
Yeah. So great question. I think part of it is that our partner group, you know, there's 5 partners and we all have unique, diverse backgrounds professionally. So, you know, myself, you know, I've been in finance, merchant services, and we have retail, we have banking, we have medical sales, we have manufacturing, we have HR. So the first thing is that we didn't know what we didn't know helped us, right? Because we haven't been in this industry for 30 years and we're trained to think one way or approach things one way. So we pull on our experiences in our former careers and what we've been doing before to come up with a unique approach of how to even approach business. So for one, we're a relationship business, and that's a banking type thing. We're not transactional. So many times where businesses view their customers as a transaction and they're trying to make as much as they can at one time, where we are trying, our goal or objective is to build a long-standing, long-term relationship, recurring, where it makes sense to them from a business standpoint and they know that they're treated fairly. We're not trying to gouge them or any of those things. So because we didn't know, it actually helped us. So the first thing that I knew that we had to do is come up with a transparent model from a sales perspective. So if you have to have salespeople if you're selling anything, right? And me being a salesperson, I understand how sales folks think. And typically the biggest thing that you get is like you feel like someone is just doing something with your money and there's no transparency. And we would always get a report with your comp report, and you're like, I don't understand how they calculated that. Something's not adding up. I need to see the Excel sheet. So the first thing we did is we just built a transparent model, and we do it for our sales folks and we also do it for our customers. We do a cost plus model. And that's something that you find a lot in merchant services, to where you pass on costs and then whatever basis points above that is what we make. And I would always tell customers, when you look at your statement, 95% of it we can't control. The other 5% is where you can beat me up of it, you know, because sure, that's what we control. So we use that model from our sales perspective and also with our customers. And when we talk to customers, that's apparently is somewhat unique in this industry, because there's a lot of hiding the ball where folks don't want you to understand what I pay for it. They don't want you to know what our margins are. They want to see how much you're willing to pay versus what it's worth. Like, it's so many different things. So in order for us to grow fast, we had to just make a really easy model for everybody to understand. And that was the first step.
I mean, that seems so powerful, right? Because if you've got five or six sales associates and you've got, and let's say even a traditional cost plus, right? Of like, all right, we're going to, let's just use a round number, $10. And the sales rep's got $5 of margin to sell it to. You know, if you don't have, you know, that transparency, that consistency, you can have one sales rep that's over here selling it for $20, one yep. sales rep selling it for $17, one selling for $13. And sure, that can be fine and dandy until it's not. And one customer's like, what the heck?
Exactly. One customer, one rep. And even when you're a startup, so you ideally you want to think to scale, right? So what you're doing now on day one, once the seams burst, is it sustainable? And it's hard to keep up multiple conversations because you don't remember what you told that person they were going to make, versus just having an easy model that no matter if 100 people ask you, it's the same answer. And that's easy. And then also to your point, like if it's $10, and then they sell it for 15, then they know everything above 10 they were getting paid on, whatever percentage you agree to. So it just makes it easy. So if you want to make more money, then you sell it for more. It just makes it really easy for a salesperson to understand how they get paid. And once someone understands how they get paid and they know that it's fair, then they it's wide open.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, nobody likes to feel like somebody's hiding anything. And so right. the more transparency internally, externally, and collaboratively, that's always going to be a win. And now, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, you've got the sales process ready, and clearly it's something that your customers are excited about. How do you go from a garage to 12,000 square feet without dropping the ball, because that's a process. There's labor involved. Yeah. There's the technical inventory tracking involved. Like, to me, that's just this overwhelming process, because over here, we're on the sales side, right? It's just our yeah. job to push it. We don't need to worry that there's, you know, all of these mechanics and mechanisms behind us to actually deliver that product. So how do you make that transition and grow while keeping sales in line?
Well, I think the first piece is that for us, we're growing organically. So we don't do more than we can handle or less than we can handle. So we do,
sure.
we move, you know, not sooner than we need to, but we don't delay it either. So everything has been organic. So to answer your question, the biggest heartburns that we had was that we had to rely on somebody else's supply chain. Literally. So if you think about it, everything was coming from China at that time, every mask. So you had the threats of trade wars, you had customs, you had lead times, you had whether or not it was counterfeit. It were so many different issues. So all of the issues that we had in our customers' experiences because we couldn't control the supply chain. So we knew in order for us to grow that we would have to get and pivot from a brokering model to a distribution model. And that's where Elliot Haney, our COO, was very instrumental, because he has a manufacturing background. So we started going with a distribution model, and we're one of the first. And I like to say we're at the tip of the spear of really being advocates for U.S. manufacturing. So a lot of U.S. manufacturers during COVID had to pivot to keep their lights on, to keep their people paid. They went from whatever they were manufacturing before to making PPE. So we wanted to be advocates for those guys. For one, it helped us align with U.S. made. We understood that the cost is going to be more expensive because the labor cost here is more expensive than it is in other parts of the world. But we knew we can control the lead time. We knew that the standards are going to be higher. We knew all of those things. So that helped us. So we started by aligning ourselves with U.S. manufacturers. And then I think it really peaked in November when we got a distribution agreement with Halyard Health, which is a heavyweight in the PPE world, to sell their mask. And then that right there is really kind of taking us to another level. But yeah, so we needed it, really. We can't drop ship from our garage, right? I think at one point we had like 8 cases of mask in there, and that was it. I didn't have room to fit my car. So we knew that we needed space. We didn't think that we would need 12,000 square foot so soon. coming out of about 200 square feet, but it's worked out and now we're growing and hopefully we'll burst out of this space soon.
Lance, you just emphasize the importance of the team. Like you just really, like with the audience tuning in, you can really see that taking on a startup is always great, right? Founder's journey, like we love building that. But it sounds to me like you were very deliberate and intentional with the pieces that you built around each other. Because this process of growth from sales to the distribution to the warehousing, it was clearly that you had the right minds in the right positions.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think that's important, right? And as a leader, is we always say, if it's not, and I personally, if it's not something I can do at expert level and somebody else can do it better than me, then that's who I want on my team. And I think sometimes, and it's not because I just know everything, it's because I've tried to do everything before. And typically when you leverage yourself too much, something else is going to be missed in the process. So bringing in key pieces and having a team where everybody has a role to where they do really good at, and you don't have to worry about, that's not to say that we all are wrapping pallets, you know, sweeping floors, sending out invoices. We do anything that we need to do to impact our business, but there's certain areas of business where we just have strengths based on our experience. And what we do is that we allow each other to play in our lanes and to do what we do best. And that helps the organization as a whole.
That's incredible. Well, Lance, I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to learn from you today. And I know the audience has got so much value from this. Before we wrap up, though, I always like to ask individuals if there's one lesson, you know, that like when you're looking at this process with Rhino Medical and you think of all of the other experiences that you've had in life, is there one lesson that if you were speaking to younger Lance that you would say this is going to be the number one key to keep in your mind to be successful?
Sure. And if I can sneak in two quick ones, the
please.
First one is really easy. It's nothing profound, but it's relationships. It's how you treat people. You never know who's paying attention to your work ethic, even if you don't work directly with them. So you never know how a relationship that you made 20 years ago could become a business opportunity 20 years later. So the relationships is one. And then if I was speaking to a young Lance, it would be definitely pay attention to every single opportunity that you've ever had from a work standpoint, whether it be at PetSmart, Party City, Burger King, because literally there's something that you learn from every opportunity that you've ever had that you can draw on. So when you're in business from yourself, typically nothing's novel. You're not going to experience something for the first time. But if you can draw on something that you've had throughout your career, it helps you get through it because you've already done it before. So just don't take any opportunity, even if it's an entry-level job, for granted. Just learn as much as you can from it.
That's amazing. What powerful advice. Thank you so much. And Lance, for those of us tuning in that say we need more Lance in our life, what is the best way for us to stay connected?
So I'm trying to be more active on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, I'm very accessible. We have an Instagram, Rhino Medical Supply, and then our website, rhinomedicalsupply.com. And then
amazing.
The branding, get Rhino Medical, get rhinoprotected.com or rhinomedicalsupply.com, either.
Brilliant. Well, we will make sure to include those links in our show notes so all of you tuning in can be sure to connect with Lance yourself as well. And we're so grateful, Lance. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Ron.
And of course, we're grateful to all of you for tuning in to another episode of How We Scale, brought to you by Jeff Brandeis, Coaching and Training. And I cannot wait to see you all in the next episode. See you soon.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.